Welcome to Yumi S30. I'm Brian Daniels. Yumi S30 is a half-hour talk show featuring conversations with guests from the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, the local community, and from around the nation. We cover a wide variety of topics that are of interest to you. Many colleges and universities around the country are starting their fall semester. Students have begun moving into their dorms, participating in various campus orientations, and preparing for their first week of classes. The University of Maryland Eastern Shore is no exception. UMES is an HBCU, or Historically Black College or University, situated on 1,100 acres of land in Princess Anne, Maryland. The university is an 1890 land-grant institution and is a University System of Maryland institution accredited by the Middle States Commission on Higher Education. Why should students consider coming to UMES? On this episode of UMES 30, we will attempt to answer that question by listening to faculty, staff, alumni, and students tell their stories in their own words. You'll be hearing clips from previous episodes of UMES 30, hosted by Dr. Joshua K. Wright, who was an associate professor of history here at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore for 8 years. In this first clip, you're going to hear Dr. Wright speak with two members of the Student Government Association, Aja Harris and Augustus Roberts. This was originally aired in December of 2018.
What would you all say to someone in our listening audience who thinks that HBCUs, again, these historically black colleges that were founded after the Civil War, are now obsolete, that these types of schools contribute to our nation's racial divide by catering more towards students as well as faculty members of color? You know, are these schools really helping people? Are they shaping students to go out and be a part of the real world, which is not fully black? What do you guys think about that?
The first word in HBCU historically is a representation of how we gotta look deep into the main issue of why these HBCUs were created. Just people being educated on more of it being more than just the Atlantic slave trade is what I believe HBCU still continues to serve its purpose to this day. Because every day we stray further and further away from the knowledge of who we are as a race and our own roots back to like Kayora empires, the Ghanaian empires, Ghanaian, the Moors, back to those empires where we truly recognize our own self-worth beyond just my black hair is beautiful. Like concrete things that recognize our own symbolism and worth in America, our race does not really know that. And it's simplified every day in terms of how even black people themselves say HBCUs do not serve a purpose.
I think HBCUs help black students, or any student, but black students especially. When you go out into the world, they're looking at your black skin first. So when you know about yourself, it's easier for you to maneuver this world as a black person once you realize who you are. And I think HBCUs teach you who you are. That's why I chose to come to HBCU.
Yeah, my final question for you guys, why should I, if I'm a student in high school, why should I attend UMES? I could go anywhere in the country. Why should I go here?
If you don't want to fit the certain mode or stigma of how every other HBCU runs their things and you want to know how to make your own fun, come to UMES, get the right friend circle, and make an impact upon your degree and beyond.
If you want to have a different lifestyle coming from a city area and come to a rural area, UMES is definitely the place for you. You can create your own fun, like he said, and create your own experiences.
Up next, Dr. Wright speaks with a diverse group of UMES students about their travels abroad and what it means to be a global citizen in today's world. This episode's special guest is Dr. Lomboso Cosa. She oversees international education and is the interim associate vice president for student affairs at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore.
So let's say we have a student who's going to be coming to campus. Maybe they're a freshman now, or maybe they'll be a freshman next year.
Yes.
What steps would they need to take if they know that they want to get involved and study abroad?
So what we do as a Center for International Education is usually have a table at least once a week in the Student Services Center, and we have one of our study abroad students who's traveled before to host that table. And we also have the center here on campus where students can come and get advised, get information of what they need to go abroad. And the first step, obviously, is where would you like to go? why do you want to go and how will this help you? And then we help the process with, you know, sending them to financial aid and, of course, meeting with the academic advisor to ensure that their coursework will transfer back to UMES. So these are the things that we help facilitate for our students to go abroad. And then, of course, we provide scholarship information, anything else related to their going abroad.
Okay, so Keith, why do you believe it's important that we view ourselves as global citizens?
I think the idea of global citizens, you see the world not only as your market, but you see the world as you care for the world. You develop a sense of care for the world. So you're not just, you're seeing yourself as a small piece of a bigger picture. And so I think by traveling and studying abroad, Now I'm more conscious of my thoughts, more conscious of the stereotypes that I create, and more conscious of just how I act and how my actions, what reactions they have.
Taquan?
It's like that old saying, the world is your oyster. Basically, the whole world is at your feet. It's at your, you know, it's at your leisure to like explore, push boundaries, see what's there out for you. Get to try out different experiences as well that will not only better yourself as a person, but also potentially better your community or the environment around you. Basically molding yourself into a new person or to a whole and adopting a whole new mentality to, better adapt to what's going on, you know, what's going on around you and also in your future as well.
Bernard?
I think kind of what Keith said earlier about it creating stereotypes for us. So I'm from a international country. So when I came here, I talked to some of my friends in my program and they had specific stereotypes about my country. And it was like, wow, you've never been there, but you actually think that. So I think that traveling abroad, it kind of opens people's minds. And it's like, well, you know, if I continue to listen to people or I continue to believe the stereotypes that people place in my mind, then I'll never know or I'll never be able to learn and grow as an individual. So I think traveling abroad kind of opens your world to the different things that we have around us.
Dr. Koza, what would you say to listeners who are afraid to get out and leave their comfort zones and explore the larger world around them, not just here in the U.S., but overseas?
I think it's important to take baby steps because you never know where you'll end up. I mean, we have an international student right here from the lovely island of Nassau, Bahamas, and he didn't know where he didn't know he would end up here, and being here has enabled him to go to places he might not have thought of going to, Dominican Republic and Italy. Likewise with Taquan, Keith, Allison, and our other students. I would say it's very key to take baby steps. You can watch all the travel shows you like on television, but there's nothing more than being at that actual place. We have two borders with Canada and Mexico. That's a start. So taking those baby steps, talking with other individuals, coming to UMES, coming to the Center for International Education, participating in our International Education Week activities, I think promotes that a lot. And just meeting this wonderful group of students that I'm so proud of who are taking UMES abroad, what do we say, Hawks abroad, taking to the next level because now, you know, they may never go anywhere else, but the fact that they went abroad while at UMES will give them a leg up with their careers. It will just open so many doors for them.
In this next clip, you'll hear Dr. Joshua K. Wright sitting down with Dr. Heidi M. Anderson, the 16th president of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. She discusses her mission for the university and how she is actively moving forward to accomplish goals she has set for UMES. Incidentally, her inauguration takes place in less than 2 weeks from now on September 13th of this year.
Definitely the most pressing thing at UMES when I arrived and is still here, and I think everyone on campus knows this, is our enrollment. It's been down for a number of years. I arrived and started trying to get familiar and get acquainted with members of the community in the Tri-County area. And what I learned, people thought that we had lost our accreditation. And I said, what led you to believe that? And because we lost an accredited program, that made people have the wrong impression and feel like the entire university had lost its accreditation. And that was not true. So enrollment has been a big challenge. And in order to turn the enrollment around, you have to dispel the myths. And one of the things I learned through our social media, there was from the past, when you go back, there was a whole campaign that was like, oh, the university's losing accreditation. Don't go there. There's no quality. But we have the finest quality faculty and staff. We have a number of accredited programs. And when you lose one, does it mean it's a domino effect onto the others? If I can say one more thing on the enrollment, because that is such a challenge, we have really pulled together and we are launching a focused strategic enrollment plan. And once that plan gets into place, people will begin to see this enrollment will turn around. And I don't want to put numbers on it, but be watching out for it.
In terms of enrollment, just for our listeners who may not be as familiar with the campus and with UMES, where do the majority of the students come from?
Believe it or not, our students are from every county in the state of Maryland. And I would say, and I hope I have my numbers correctly here, is about 80% of our students are from the state, inside the state.
Okay.
And of course, we pull students from Virginia and we pull students from Delaware, the other surrounding areas. A few of them will come from out of state, but the majority are right here in the state of Maryland. And they tend to go back to those counties when they leave.
And you talked about community relations. Are many of the students also coming from Princess Anne or some of these, you know, nearby cities in particular?
We have students coming from Somerset County, Wacomico, as well as Worcester. So our students are pulled from each one of those. Give you an example. One of our alums, which I always like to give a shout out to, is the current Maryland State Teacher of the Year, Dr. Richard Warren. And he's a three-time UMES graduate. So we're very proud of him. But right here, and I mention him simply because he teaches as a teacher now in Crisfield. So you can imagine, having been a three-time alum, he's probably going to send students over here from Crisfield.
Yeah, and I think that is so important that, you know, for all universities that they are active in those local communities, just because, you know, you don't want the people in the towns thinking that you have these outsiders coming from all different parts of the state and all different parts of the country. And then, you know, they're not doing anything to actually enrich or give back to those local communities.
Very important. I can tell you, after having spent a number of weeks and visits over to our legislators this session while they were in, and I went over to Annapolis several times, any state that you're in, your legislatures want to know that the students that you're recruiting are majority from your state. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to look at students from other places, you know. But that's just to give back, like you say, to those communities and the economic development. That's very important.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to UMES 30. I'm Brian Daniels. On this episode, we are taking a look at why students should be coming to the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. You'll be listening to faculty, staff, alumni, and students tell their stories in their own words about their experiences at UMES. At the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, our land-grant mission of research, education, and outreach is at the core of who we are. Because of our belief that learning is best accomplished hands-on, we provide our students the opportunity to transform what they learn in the classroom into practical application through research. These opportunities prepare our students to shape the future of our state, our region, and the world.
UMES is the 1890 land-grant university in the state of Maryland. And by mandate of the law that created the land-grant universities, we need to do research, extension, and academics.
You have a dedicated group of professors, you have a dedicated group of faculty, and beautiful facilities to work in.
Some of the labs are amazing. I mean, as far as instrument goes, as far as supply goes, as far as all the things that one needs for a research and a lot of progress.
You know, I never thought I would be in research, honestly. I'm really a type of person that likes to have my hand in everything and try out everything. This type of work is for me, research, and it makes a difference.
Students and faculty recently planted a 3-acre orchard.
With this, of course, this looks small. This is just a 3-acre of land, but this is one of the most diverse orchards in the state of Maryland.
So basically, toxicology deals with a lot of the nature effects of poisons in our environment. So by growing our own crops here, we can reduce the whole preservative things we keep doing here, and in that effect, it's helping our bodies stay healthy.
This is for our local people, local food for local people, and this will improve the economy of our local farmers.
In addition to crop farming, students and faculty members are testing a new year-round rotational grazing program that will help farmers save money and keep their livestock healthy.
We have close to 300 animals, so if somebody wants to do hands-on practice, this is the place to do it.
And one of the things that we got involved in real early was Dr. Escobar was interested in rotational grazing.
Because every day is different here at the farm. We have all kinds of situations that somebody that wants to learn about animal science, here is the place to do it.
In this particular case, we put together a year-round grazing system.
They are happy to get a new paddock, new food, something like that. So I'm doing this, you know, for life, you know.
Students choose University of Maryland Eastern Shore for a variety of reasons. Water research brought Winton Goodman.
I want to work with the water crisis, and they have a lot of water research here.
The project that we just started is Aeromonas, which is a bacteria, and mainly you can find it in water.
We went to collect water samples and sediment samples from three sites.
To me, microbiology is very interesting, so that's my job, to just direct them into the right path.
People see that you have determination, and they take to it, and they want to put you in the right spot to move you forward so that you can pursue your dreams.
Deep down, I want to help the student more than anything, and it just gives me a lot of satisfaction of what am I doing right now.
She's not the only one. The UMES School of Pharmacy and Health Professions is conducting research that could save the lives of our friends and family.
What is known today is that 1 in 26 Americans will develop epilepsy at some point of their lifetime.
The goal is to find a drug that is exclusively for drug-resistant epilepsy.
I share my passion with them about the research, and I tell them the significance of how discovering new therapies for patients that suffer from drug-resistant epilepsy will play, because they too want a better quality of life.
So the times I'm not in the class, I come in the lab set up. There is different steps. You have to synthesize the compound, you have to purify it, make sure it's clean, and then before you can send it out for testing and all of that.
It's been a joy to work with them, and they have done a lot of the work, and they are the driving force behind the research.
It's research that may solve problems and could also create new opportunities here on the shore.
And what I'm doing is I'm getting the waste, which is the seashells, and I'm trying to extract a sorbent out of it, which is called chitin.
And we are looking at a local industry. So what is one of the local biggest wastes? Shells from seafood industry.
And we are using that sorbent for capturing CO2 so we can reduce the carbon dioxide from the atmosphere.
And that to take basically waste of one industry and convert it into a solution in another industry.
There are solutions in nature that are being reproduced in labs. For instance, creating new materials with engineered properties.
Nature has got the solution of every problem on Earth.
For a number of years, I've had a big interest in 3D printing and a lot of technology.
And what we are doing here is trying to make natural smart surfaces, and we try to mimic nature.
But now there's been some recent developments in 3D printing that have allowed us to 3D print structures on a nanoscale.
And nature does that, just like in lotus leaf. When you put a drop of water, they don't stick to those surfaces. They naturally run away from those surfaces.
And it is potentially possible that we can 3D print structures even down to the size of a molecule.
And here in this lab, we are trying to mimic that. So this is kind of called biomimicry.
And that's not all. Energy efficiency is a top research priority at UMES.
Currently, I'm working on a project with supercapacitors, which store energy.
Right now, we're still in the process. We're still looking to see which anthocyanin, which is the dye, and from which berries would help us create the most effective cell.
These are flexible, biodegradable materials.
We're actually generating heat and wavelengths of light that is suitable for photovoltaic cells.
So this itself is tells you why UMES is so important, because it gives you that research experience that nobody can give you in the whole Eastern Shore of Maryland.
Anything in life can be researched, right? So if you know how to the steps, you're gonna get there in no time.
There's a lot of discoveries that have been made. There's new therapies that's in the pipeline and possible cure, but there's much more work that needs to be done, and I just want to be a part of it.
Really, our bread and butter is agriculture, and so this is really the best place to grow, if figuratively.
We don't need any PowerPoint projector or a blackboard or a whiteboard. We need our plant, our land, and our students, everything at the same place. So that is our future.
We now return to Dr. Wright's conversation with Dr. Heidi Anderson, the 16th president of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore.
What do you say to critics who argue that HBCUs are no longer needed in 2019 as they were in years past during Jim Crow and segregation?
That is not true. Mm-hmm. That's what I say to critics. But let me elaborate on that. HBCUs produce the most African-American doctors, lawyers, pharmacists, health professionals, scientists, need I go on? Actors, performers, than any other institution. And that's going to continue. But more importantly, many of your HBCUs are a land-grant institution like we are. We're in 1890s. For our listeners out there, what that means is that the land grant mission came with a dual role, to educate tomorrow's teachers, but also to help in the communities, and especially those areas of agriculture and science. And that means having a partnership with your communities and helping to find solutions to communities' problems. HBCUs are critical in that area. And let's talk about UMES. We're doing research in areas that deals with the water, marine research, soil research, research that can help cure, find cures for things like diabetes. And when you think about also HBCUs, those students out there or patients in the future, they want to see someone who looks like them. So these universities are so important and so valuable, and still they're valuable.
As you well know, teaching is an honorable profession in this country. In the next clip you're about to hear, Dr. Wright speaks with local educators with ties to the University of Maryland Eastern Shore.
Karen and Richard, if both of you could just kind of tell listeners why students should consider coming to UMES and applying to become future teachers.
I would have to say, going to UMES has been nothing but an amazing experience. It was the start of my journey to where I am today, to be able to say that I'm, you know, the 2018 Worcester County Teacher of the Year. The experiences that you will receive there at UMES is second to none. And the strategies and just the community that you have there is amazing. So I'm very thankful to be, you know, a product of UMES.
Yeah, I would definitely say the same. UMES is like the second home to me. When I came to the campus, I immediately felt loved. I felt like the faculty actually cared about me. I was not just a number. Anytime I needed advice, even down to applying for scholarships, figuring out how I could even stay at the university, the faculty and the staff went out of their way to make sure that I at least had a hint. And you don't get that everywhere.
Over the past several years, the UMES School of Pharmacy has been deliberate in providing patient-centered care, continuing outreach in the community about health issues, and creating an environment that fosters research as well as medical discoveries. In this clip, Dr. Wright speaks with UMES School of Pharmacy faculty, a graduate of the program, and a fourth-year student.
So this is a great place where, you know, where we do encourage minorities, and it obviously is an HBCU.
Right.
It's part of our mission.
Yeah.
And also following up with Dr. Jackson, I attended, the mentorship is very, very important.
Right.
And this is a place where we do provide that kind of mentorship for students.
Right. Isis, tell our listeners why if they're thinking about a career within pharmaceutical science, that they should consider attending UMES?
Well, to start with, our classes are really not the physical class, but we have a small entering class every other year. Sometimes we make exceptions, but I'm mentioning that because due to the size of the entry class, you have a very good student-faculty ratio. So you have the opportunity of working with any faculty of your choice. Like, you have this endless possibilities of what kind of research you want to be involved in. We're doing extensive drug development research at every level of the drug development process. You talk about the medicinal chemistry portion, the pharmacology portion, the drug delivery portion. So there is different opportunities for you to be involved in, to contribute to the community, to let yourself know that you're actually doing research that is that's contributing to the society, and not just something that over the years you just toss your dissertation somewhere, that or your thesis somewhere, that it was just something along the way. So for students that are thinking about getting a pharmaceutical science career, my advice to them would be to seriously consider UMES, at the UMES School of Pharmacy, because you have the opportunity to let your opinions be heard. The faculty, they are great listeners. They are open to whatever ideas you are, and they are ready to help you bring those ideas, those creative ideas, to reality. So that would be my advice to them.
And Dr. Harper, you want to add any final thoughts on that?
I think as an alumnus of the program, you know, it's been 6 years now since I graduated. It has been interesting from the prospect of being a student and seeing how things work into then, you know, being a professional and seeing how things work and develop. And I would say that at UMES, they are within the School of Pharmacy, there is not a sense of, well, we need to continue doing things the same way they've always been done because that's the way we've been doing them. Luckily enough, the program is so fresh and so new that you can get people in that will have different ideas and you can incorporate them, and no one has a set mindset of, like I just mentioned, we've always done it this way, we're going to continue doing it this way. That's just not how it is at the School of Pharmacy, and that is one of the good things to see, that people are open to new ideas and changing, especially when there is need.
If you are looking for an opportunity to become a learner and further your education, consider coming to UMES. UMES President Dr. Heidi Anderson will have the last word here. These are her thoughts on why potential students should come to UMES. You've been listening to UMES 30. I'm Brian Daniels. And to our new and returning students, I hope you have a great and productive semester. See you next time.
Seniors, high school students, we have a beautiful campus. We have a class size that is very small, a small number of instructors to student body size. We have a very well-rounded student body and a world-class group of faculty and staff, because we are a research institution as well, and unique academic programs. Where can you go to major in something like aviation sciences? Our certified PGA Golf Management program, which is only one of 18 in the country, or programs like our health professions, agriculture, and sciences. That's why you should enroll at UMES. And the last point is, we care about you.
Hawk pride.
Catch it.